Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Max 6 Workspace and Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki with Business Radio X. And today we want to welcome back to the studio some friends of ours from Ahwatukee, the group, Senior Advocacy Group of Ahwatukee, known as SAGA.
Correct?
Yes. Right before the on-air button came on, we had our producer remind us that you were on with Jacqueline Destremps' show, 3C Amplified, and had a chance to get to know you. And we're very pleased that you have an opportunity to come back and tell us about an upcoming event and also bring a wonderful guest with you today. So please let me introduce you to Vicki, or reintroduce you, I should say, Vicki McAllister, chair and conference chair for this upcoming event.
Thank you for the opportunity and for inviting us back. It means so much to us. And if you'd like, I can just quickly mention that our wonderful conference is coming up on February 9th at the wonderful venue of the Ahwatukee Rec Center, ARC, in Ahwatukee. And it's a beautiful venue. We have 21 sponsors and our exhibitor tables are full. But that being said, we have a wonderful lineup of speakers and programs and all of the wonderful material and resources that it will showcase. And that being said, there's much to say about that.
Well, we have
great
a whole hour.
Infomercial. Thank you.
Yeah, that's perfect. Good. Well, thank you. And also with Vicki is Derek Johnson, who is a board member. Welcome back, Derek.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, happy to have you. And they were wise to bring a friend. We have a very special guest in the studio with us as well, June Tesdall. Did I do that correctly?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And June is a model for senior empowerment as she successfully obtained resources from the DES Blind Services and is an active volunteer at the Foundation Fighting Blindness. So welcome to the studio for the first time, June.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I say first time because I'm thinking we probably ought to have you back again. I already know that. So let's talk. Let's get our listeners caught up. Who is Senior Advocacy Group of Ahwatukee for? Who do you serve? Where's the funding come from? Just, you know, let's just start a conversation and then let's make sure we really look to June for some of that firsthand experience on how really becoming empowered.
Absolutely. And just briefly, SAGA is a charitable organization organized primarily for providing resources, advocacy, and education for our Ahwatukee seniors and their families. And that mission is very important to us. And this year, as we're moving into a short time before the conference, we also intend to start giving money back to our Ahwatukee community for senior resources. And that's very important to me as well as our board, SAGA board. And we are in the process of beginning that conversation about measurable criteria, consistent criteria that helps to show that this can live on and be sustainable year after year, so there's no cronyism. And as we certainly know, and I certainly know from 42 years working with seniors, that the resources are going to be depleted and exhausted with the number of baby boomers that are retiring, 10,000 a day, as well as the needs seem to be exacerbated in terms of issues that are occurring in this population as we age. So we really believe by helping our community, we will be effectively working with a nonprofit mindset and partners to come up with new solutions and not competing with each other, but helping each other. And then as we begin to give money back, people will begin to see how this is being lived out. And there's great resources in Ahwatukee, in addition to the wonderful ARC Center that we've talked about that is going to sponsor the event. And they didn't charge us for the use of the space, which was very generous. And it's a beautiful venue, as I've stated. But I'm the case manager at YOPUS at YMCA in Ahwatukee, and the programs for outreach and transportation are phenomenal. And there's so many other entities and organizations in Ahwatukee that are represented at this conference as sponsors, exhibitors, and other interested parties.
I love that you mentioned that you are making sure as an organization that you have the measurable outcomes.
Yes.
Because when we look for funding and we look to tell a story about the success that we've had and how we serve communities, we have to be able to show how we're not only reaching those milestones, but also hopefully surpassing them so that people can really rally around what you're doing.
Absolutely. And we're beginning that effort this year.
Smart.
And I feel really good about that. So we'll keep our membership apprised and make it a very collaborative process.
Talk us.
And just briefly about the sponsors, because of the 21 sponsors, which is going something you can read more about by seeing our e-blasts and our other media information. So I won't spend time on that today. But we're only $300 to $500 away from reaching our revenue goal, which is just a small...
For the event?
For the event.
Wow.
So even if we could just get those one or two more sponsors, that would help us not only reach our goal, but then create this moving forward initiative to give back. So thank you for letting me mention that.
Of course. And who might be... It could be an individual donor, a family.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be a business.
Yes. And we put, of course, their logo and they have a wonderful table at the event by being a sponsor. So their logo and material is included in all of our future media and PR.
Great. So we are known as a hyper-local studio. And Derek and I were just talking about that before we came into the studio for this episode. And what that means is that we really want to help community come together in the different cities within the Metro Phoenix area. And Ahwatukee is obviously one of those communities. And I share this because when I say we're a hyper-local studio, that's who we serve. But our listening audience could be all over the country because this isn't AM/FM radio. It is internet radio, and it becomes a podcast. So anytime, anywhere, someone can listen. So for the folks who may not be familiar with Ahwatukee, but for whatever reason, they found us and they're listening to this segment.
Yes.
How could all three of you describe kind of the Ahwatukee community? Because there's a reason why you're doing what you're doing in this particular community.
Yes. And I think Derek Johnson would be best to describe it, but I've lived there 28 years and know it well. And in addition to that, as we introduce our guest in a little bit to talk about the loneliness and isolation realities of the senior population, but how we've been resourced, that wonderful June has a story to tell that's most inspirational on how we can circumvent some of these issues. Derek, do you want to say anything about our wonderful Ahwatukee community?
Sure. I actually live in Ahwatukee as well, but I'm also a first responder in Ahwatukee. I'm a firefighter, and it's a beautiful community that is really in the foothills of South Mountain. And it's a community that stretches from, and for those who aren't familiar, would be from about 50th Street to 43rd Avenue, with Central being the kind of center point. So you have about 43 blocks on one side and about 50 blocks on the other side. So it's a pretty large community. It's built in a way that east of about 12th Street, it becomes all residential. So there isn't a lot of services that are actually built into community. It's really just sort of a bedroom community. And it's isolated by geographic as far as from the rest of the valley and the community. So there's not a part of that community that's not beautiful as far as scenic. But one of the things that happens is a lot of people have lived in that community for the last 20, 25 years and have aged out in the sense of their children have moved on, they're starting to retire. So the distance between services is a lot greater than it is in most places in the community. And so the services that are there, when you start to get, and I'm going to say probably in your 60s, it just is time consuming. So if you have to go to a physician, it's a long drive. If you have to get involved with any kind of social services and you're required to stay at home, it's a long drive for those social services to get to you. So that tends to lead to people either not receiving the services or waiting a long time to get the services. And as SAGA, or Senior Advocacy, one of the things that the founders, and we're not the founders, but we've been blessed to move forward in this organization is that they were is looking how to connect services for those individuals. And one of the things that as a first responder, what I see a lot out there is that technology is a good thing, but it's got to two-edged sword. And so where you think people can pick up the phone, they can connect to the internet, they can, but that doesn't necessarily bring the services to you. And it doesn't make it easy to get to those services. So one of the things about connecting in Ahwatukee is connecting people so that they can get the services in a timely manner. And as a first responder, a lot of times we'll go to people's homes, and particularly with the elderly, you'll find out that they've gone maybe 3, 4, 5 days of needing the service, but not having the ability to get to the service or the service get to them. So whatever their issue is, it starts to get exacerbated. And a simple thing that we see quite a bit is just a simple fall. And Ahwatukee is a it ranges from middle income to very, very wealthy people. So a lot of the homes, because of the space, are two-story. Some are even three-story. So if you have issues with walking, if you have issues with mobility, if you're on the second floor of your home, where you're basically your bedroom, that kind of thing, just a simple thing like falling at the bottom of the stairs or not being able to get back up the stairs, if you fall, some people will lay on their floor for a day, 2 days. And you would think, okay, we have medical alerts, we have, you know, all those things. But those things are only as good as how you use them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, someone takes a shower, they take off their medical alert, they fall, they can't make contact. It's not as simple as sitting there screaming because your neighbors are in a home, you know, those kind of things. So we'll get out there, and that fall, you know, if you think about it, someone's laying on their side, and then you get all kinds of injuries from just laying on the floor. There's a lot of embarrassment because maybe they become incontinent because they've been on the floor for a day or two. That just happened on a recent incident I was on just a few days ago. So there's embarrassment that, you know, lends to people not wanting to call. They're embarrassed when they call. They feel like they're a burden. And all those things just start to snowball to where, you know, it makes it a lot harder for people to even reach out for help.
I think that was extremely important for you to share that perspective.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. That is just from the heart. Thanks, Derek. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just going to add one little piece of the AARP statistics, which we can footnote if we need to. 17% of older adults are isolated. 51% 75 years and older are alone. 6 million adults 65 and older have a disability that prevents them from leaving their homes without help. And measures to help with that are what we're talking about today, being proactive, but community resources, stress reduction, positive life choices, finding purpose and meaning, empowerment with mind, body, and spirit focused, which again is focusing on strengths and building on who individual strengths and what they enjoy and what's meaningful to individuals. And identifying roadblocks simply is accessing transportation. For example, YOPUS gave out 8,800 free volunteer transportation visits to medical appointments and other important appointments in last year. And that need continues, of course. Additional roadblocks are their homebound status, which we've just talked about, and family distance and communication. A lot of families are not living in Ahwatukee or somewhere else. And just general companionship is very necessary to sustainability. So all of these things factor in. There's no cookie-cutter approach because we're all unique human beings and should be always treated as an adult and respectfully, with choices first.
And I'd like to add to what Vicki just said. Technology is a great thing. You know, people can FaceTime. They can do a lot of things like that. But that doesn't tell you what's going on in the home. It doesn't tell you what's going on behind the scene. And, you know, everybody, I think, puts on a good face with, you know, FaceTime and Skype and things like that. But that doesn't tell you what's going on as simple as, did you look over at their kitchen and you see a pile of dishes? Because they can't, and I know this sounds simplistic, they can't load their dishwasher or they can't unload their dishwasher.
Sure.
So things just pile up on there. They can't cook, you know, because you have to be able to move around. you go into their bedroom and it hasn't been cleaned, or you go into the bathroom and there's clothes there, and those become fall hazards, trip hazards. So you could sit and Skype with somebody and think everything's okay, and it's really not.
My dad's in his 80s and he's in great health, thankfully. I know that, and he's not a big fan of technology, but if he were to be Skyping, he would likely pick a room and position himself out of pride so that we didn't see anything going on. You know what I mean? Yeah. He is so prideful and should be about who he is as an individual and a mature man that he would hide from us if there's any discourse.
Yes. Yeah. And that's very common in the early stages of anything with a disability or what have you. We can go on and on. But very, you know, seniors, older adults are going to always put their best foot forward and mask the symptoms and will frequently say, I'm fine, I don't need any help, leave me alone, I can do this myself, I don't need you. And that's fine because we respect all of our needs to be independent and to be making our own choices. But on the other hand, I think June's examples about how to be more empowered and look for resources and not forget that we can and we will. So that's a great example of what can happen.
And I'm thinking too, June, I would love for you to chime in and share whatever is on your heart. But I would imagine too, not only, but finding joy in doing that. Yes. I think that's why Vicki and Derek thought to have you today, because you not only have done this and become an advocate for yourself and others, but it's a passion for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I moved here 2005, and my son lives here, and he said, Mom, you need to get closer to me. So here I came, got on an airplane, and I haven't driven in 20 years, and I'm losing my sight and my hearing. So kind of hard to bluff when you can't see. Right. As you walk into a wall, they notice, you know, oh, she can't see. Anyway, I thank every day. I'm thankful that I ended up in Ahwatukee. My son said, Mom, you want to be in Ahwatukee? And he was right. So friendly, so many groups. I was on the YOPUS advisory council up until January 1st. And I've gotten involved in Foundation Fighting Blindness. What I live by is that nobody's going to come to your front door and offer these things to you. You have to make that first call. And I make that decision every day that I'm going to be productive. I'm going to be involved. I exercise 4 times a week. I have different friends that take me. So far, nobody will let me drive their car, but I keep asking. I'm involved in a lot of things, and I did play cards up until a couple years ago, but it's an attitude, and you've got to make that first step. And I know it's hard because I don't want to admit sometimes the things that I'm having trouble with, but there are all kinds of resources. The state of Arizona it has been wonderful. In Florida, they gave me my cane, my white cane, and that was it. And said, have a good life. Here, they'll come out to your home. It has nothing to do with your income. And they will go through your house with you and say, how about in the kitchen? Do you have trouble with the stove? Do you have trouble? And they help you mark things. They provide magnifiers. They just brought me a reader, talking thermometers, whatever. And it's tough. You know, you think, oh, I'm getting help from the state. You don't feel real good about it, but they don't make you feel that way. And in turn, I'm telling other people, have you thought of this? Would you like this? And I do have a number for the state. If it's visually impaired, somebody that's losing their sight, and it's a lonely journey losing your sight. People think they understand and they say, oh, yeah, that's really too bad. But as your sight gets smaller and smaller, your visual field, it's scary. And you do feel alone because you're going through it by yourself. But there are other groups and so forth. But the state, if you need services, If you're losing your sight, you can call area code 602-266-9286, and they will be happy to talk to you and set up an appointment, come out to your home, and work with you. And believe me, once you start having these things helping you, you feel so much better for it. The other caution is that if you are married or living with someone and you depend on them, I've seen this over and over. It's great, except if something happens to that person, then it's devastating. So by being independent yourself and learning these things and getting the help, it really does make you feel better. I'm also involved in Foundation Fighting Blindness. And we, 13 years ago, I helped start a walk that we have the 23rd of February, the last Saturday in February, at Steele Indian School Park. And we raise money for research. And we've been very fortunate. We have a doctor here in the Valley that's been here about 3 years, and he is going to do clinical trials. And I'm very interested in that, particularly the stem cell work that is being done. They use your own blood and your own skin to harvest the cells, and they've had some really good results. So I'm hopeful that I might be able to participate in that down the road. So, but Foundation Fighting Blindness, they have lots of information. They have a website. We bring in speakers for workshops, and we just had in October Dining in the Dark, which you come into the dining room in a hotel and put on glasses, and that totally darken, you can't see anything, and then you eat your dinner and you see how it is to be blind.
Oh, that's going to be a fantastic event.
Yeah. Yeah, the first year we had 50 people. This last October, we had to cut it off at 178 because the room wasn't...
In one year, it grew that much.
Yes. Uh-huh. So I encourage everyone that is going through a change, vision change, or some other type of change. There's a whole lot of world out there, and you just need to make up your mind that you're going to be part of it. And you have to have the courage to make that call.
So many important points there, right? So if you're in a relationship with someone and you're living together, and as you age or some of these situations begin to happen to you, whatever stage of life you are, if that spouse or partner then dies or leaves or whatever, and you haven't become independent or haven't maintained your independence, then that isolation... That's one example that I'm hearing. Another is, if you are part of the Ahwatukee community, as things begin to happen to you, if you're no longer able to get around on your own, you can begin to feel isolated. And
right.
Is your son still in the area then?
Yes, he is. Uh-huh. But he does a lot of travel. He's out of the country and so forth. So my mother moved here with me. She passed away in 2014. She was 98 years and 4 months. She was kind of my eyes, kind of a little bit. And people said, oh, when are you going to put the house on the market? And I said, I'm not. They said, oh, you're getting a roommate. And I said, no, I'm not. They're like, well, you can't stay there alone. It's like, why not? Mm-hmm. They said, well, you know, you can't see. And it's like, well, there's all kinds of things that assist me. And I know that house inch by inch. And so I'm very comfortable there.
Do you find that a lot, Derek and Vicki, as well, that people, again, we've explained a little bit about the closeness of the Ahwatukee community. What I'm hearing is through June's story and some of our conversation before we went on air, you would, if you had to be uprooted and moved elsewhere, that could be devastating.
Yes, it could. And I think one of the other things, June, the other day when we talked about this, she had this quote that said she makes the decision every day to get up and keep going, but done in a very positive way. And so in other words, June hasn't arrived. None of us are arriving, have arrived. We're all every single day trying to be intentional and look for strengths with seniors, build on the resources we have, and work together in a community, because we can't compete with a surrounding municipality and expect them to give us their resources. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think, yes, she is just a role model, but she begins every day. And
with that commitment, the recommitment.
June, with your story.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think one of the things that is really inspiring about June is that when I first met her, you didn't see her disability. We started talking. We were laughing. She was a marketer in major areas, and I can let her speak on that. We were joking about, you know, no one will sell me a gun, you know, or take me to buy
or let me drive their car.
Right. Their car, you know, one of the things that we're trying to focus in on this conference we're having is not to look at the downside of getting older and to look at the things that you could do. And one of the things that, we're hoping to do, and it's always been sort of our goal in Saga, is to use not only success stories to inspire people, but also to use that as a guide for people to become successful as they age. And I think of, you know, a lot of elderly people will walk into their home and you will see things from World War II, medals, you'll see flags. You'll start hearing stories just like June, and I'll let her, you know, talk about her previous life. And we'll find ourselves as captivated for why we're there as we are about who we're with. To the point where we get back on that fire truck, we'll start talking about, wouldn't it be good to have a life like that? Mm-hmm. And then those experiences, we're trying to figure out a way how to keep those experiences positive, because there's a whole group of people that just won't have or couldn't have the experiences that some of our elderly, you know, citizens have, just because the world's mm-hmm. different. There's so much rich history there, and there's so much for inspiration that we're going to find a way to, and we've had all kinds of conversations, and I think this really is probably one of the better venues to just tell those stories. Because, you know, if you, I know how I feel when I have a cold and I just don't feel good, and you got to go and do things, you know, and I've broken bones and fallen down and all kinds of other things, but that was by choice. You know, shouldn't have been roller skating with my 6-year-old trying to do 70 moves.
You know, it's temporary.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things that I hope, you know, we have an opportunity, and I think we're going to do this in our, we've talked about it at the conference, about not just having a positive way to grow older, but to share those stories and be those inspirations, because, you know, listening to June just makes your day better.
And I would just add before she elaborates is that our keynote speaker is Amberlee Neese, who's an author and a humorist and an encourager.
Perfect.
Humorist and encourager, and that was by design with the committee that wanted to have something new and refreshing instead of resources on healthcare, mm-hmm. even though we'll have all those resources and through the sponsors and exhibitor tables. And then the additional lineup talks about laughter after 50, pickleball, tai chi, one-on-one interactions, you know, a free breakfast snack, and on and on and on we could go.
I know you're also going to have Jennifer Turk.
Yes.
From the city of Phoenix. So just a little tidbit
Absolutely.
That I didn't share with you earlier. Jennifer and I went to McClintock High School together in Tempe, you know, just a couple years ago, just a handful of years ago. And then we parted ways. We didn't really hang out a lot with each other, but we did know of each other. And then we reunited at University of Phoenix for our master's degree program.
Oh,
and we were in small little cohorts. So we actually graduated at the same time and were involved in many different case studies and that sort of stuff as a group. So shout out to Jennifer Turk, who is an excellent speaker, a great advocate, and a longtime City of Phoenix employee.
Yes.
And she'll be talking about Act Your Shoe Size,
wonderful.
Not Your Age.
I was going to say the title of her presentation is just, it's going to be fun and humorous as well.
And she is a funny
lightning.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah. Wise, kind-hearted, like the two of you, well, the three of you. I mean, obviously June is, but obviously the dedication that you all have. And I love that you shared. This is really around not only elevating the community and bringing everybody together, but keeping it light and fun and giving mm-hmm. them hope, mm-hmm. finding a way to, I mean, I no doubt are you going to reach folks through this event and everything that you're already doing, but just the stories that you can share. And Derek, you said it so right. That's one of the things we do. And I know that's why we wanted to have you guys back on and why you were like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Storytelling is everything, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Storytelling is everything. And when we get to know each other, it's through our stories and our experiences that help shape and guide where we're headed next. And if we're not keeping it positive, then we're going to be obviously moving in a direction we don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Derek is a great storyteller as well. And on our last show with you, we talked about the updated MedStats, which is now online with our Saga website. But what that does is provide everyone a accessible opportunity to look at those resources to help first responders and also to help secure a home and pet and make sure those choices are honored, their choices, not their family members. But if the family has to help, this makes it very accessible for them. And also it has access to other links, such as the Attorney General's website with the advanced directives and additional 25 forms. And it's amazing. As we've done all these presentations since last July, August, so many people don't have a medical power of attorney. And not that we're going to talk about that subject, but we want to make sure that individual choices are honored. And by having one, then those can be written down and memorialized and ready to be respected should you have to go into take a ride in the ambulance or the hospital. So all of those resources are now accessible and will continue to refine. And we've made 10 updates since the original packet, so we can make it more streamlined.
One of the things, too, with the MedStats is we added a link to the National Fire Protection Association, which will teach you how to do home safety, which is a lot more than just fire. It's everything from natural disasters. You know, one of the things that does occur when there's a natural disaster is that you have to kind of get your stuff and go. Well, if you're on medications, mm-hmm. if you have important documents, you don't get a chance to get those things. And, you know, everybody puts them in the place, you know, and you kind of say, hey, this is where I'm going to have it. And then you move it or pieces of it, gets moved. So that's a place. And it also has a nice website link that goes to fall prevention and home safety. And it's really important, I think, that when you're looking at home safety, and I think especially June can speak on this a lot more, but when you have a walker, and there are some very good walkers out there. I mean, there's walkers that you know, are just almost close to motorized. I mean, they move easy. You can sit on them until you put a rug in front of it. Or until you try to use the back door and, you know, it's going out, you know, maybe on a patio and it's a 7-inch drop versus maybe a 2-inch drop, you know, that you see in the doorway. And that's when they have the trip and fall. You'd be surprised how many people will go out on the patio and want to sit next to the pool. They go to get up, they lose their balance and they fall in the pool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things like that. So there's links to that. And then the other thing we were talking about doing, we just had a board meeting, is about even maybe making that MedStats, it's available on our website, but making it a mobile app. Because someone may fall at a safe way, the information's very important, but mm-hmm. we're not at their house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're looking at doing some things like that. And I think last year we did 274. Yeah, packets and presentations. So.
And it's used by, I think, just under 4,000 families, if I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. And this is a free tool, mm-hmm. and it's available through the website, sagaseniors.org.
Right.
But we would also hope that we could do more presentations to homeowner associations and or churches this coming year and next. And that's how the word spreads. You know, it's informal. Yep. In 40 minutes, you can accomplish the awareness building and bring the tool, answer questions.
And tell stories about how it's helped people, right? That's that's where people begin to go, oh my goodness, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's their choices.
Yes.
Those MedStats allow them to write down their wishes, their choices, their directions, not somebody else's, so that they can be more proactive.
Mine's on the refrigerator. Okay. So if you come, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm. June, I was wondering, and I know we briefly just spoke about it, but you mentioned some of your previous professions. Could you talk to us a little bit about that? Those are pretty
Sure.
Impressive to me.
Well, I grew up in the Midwest and went to Iowa State University, graduated from there. And my career ended up being in the food industry. I was in marketing for Quaker Oats in Chicago. And then from there, I went to Land O'Lakes in Minneapolis, then down to Tropicana in Bradenton, Florida. And the last job that I had was with Kellogg's.
So many great brands.
Yeah.
Wow.
And each one of these positions, I had different additional responsibilities that made the job interesting. And for Land O'Lakes, we introduced a lot of new products, and I did media tours, traveling all over the United States and cooking on television, which I could write a whole book about that. You know, that looks like it's a full kitchen with water, but it's really not. And when you get done, throw your stuff in a garbage bag and get out. They don't want you to linger. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed what I did. At age 50, I was at Kellogg's, and I had to travel a lot. And they did not have an airport, so I had to drive to Kalamazoo and get on a little tiny plane. And it became more difficult with time going on. So I ended up taking a medical disability with them at age 50, which was not really in my career plan to retire at age 50. But you know what? It all worked out. It took a while to kind of get myself oriented. At the same time, I was not going to be able to drive. And it was a lot to take on at one time. But I worked through it all. I have a very full life, very happy where I am, I'm very thankful I'm in Ahwatukee. Life is good.
And what you don't know is that next week or the week after, she's going to do a one-on-one presentation and helpfulness, a little session with someone that's also in similar situation with visual
yes.
impairment. Just that example shows that her heart and her desire to help other people. And I think we've only tapped the surface of how we can help seniors helping seniors.
Mm-hmm.
That's another whole conversation for another day, because when people retire, the successful aging statistics are those that found purposefulness and meaningfulness in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time that's found in helping others or volunteering or both. So June just lives this every day, and that's one small example, but mm-hmm. It's a choice.
It is choice. And you pointed it out, and June spoke to it, waking up every day, making that recommitment.
Mm-hmm.
And just even that little snippet, I know every time Dan, our producer, and I are in here, we hear something in a segment, we're like, oh my gosh, that's the nugget today. And that'll be the nugget for me today.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning I have a choice, and I get to recommit and show up in the way that in my world, it's the way God intended me to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say that as you share your stories and people listening to this segment, you can shift, you can help shift
yes.
people. And
mm-hmm.
I love what you shared just now, Vicki. Seniors helping seniors.
Yes.
Because I don't know clearly, I don't know what it's like to be legally blind. I don't know what it's like to be a senior yet, although I'm getting there pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 50, I just turned 54. And in some worlds, that's a senior already.
Yes, and 54, 55 and above is an older adult, because
right.
some of us just don't want to be called a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And so older adults need to be talking about these issues instead of waiting until they're a statistic or they have a crisis. And so, and your story even is another opportunity to talk about that, because of what you're doing here with this program and bringing people together. And that really means a lot.
I feel very blessed to have this platform
mm-hmm.
for this very reason, the conversation we're having right now. When in marketing, and June can probably shed some light on this for us, because she's the marketing expert in the room, or at least I think she is, right? I know it's not me. Two things. One, the big TV stations and radio stations and newspapers, you know, when it's a nonprofit like your organization, even
mm-hmm.
though everybody is passionate and there's such great value and purpose mm-hmm. in what you're doing out there, they're not always looking for that story.
No.
Mm-hmm. Right? They want the sizzle, and they
mm-hmm.
want the pop, and they want, you know, not all
yes.
the time. There's some, I think we're finally beginning to see a shift, but oftentimes it's the death and destruction that gets our attention.
That's right. Yep.
And I think what I really get inspired by is my mother's 85, and she's at home, and she's real healthy, and she, you know, my older sister and her live together. And my grandmother lived on her own till she was in her 90s. And I have some longevity in our family on both sides. They get into their hundreds. And one of the things is I think, is attitude, obviously. But I think all of us have mentioned, you know, June, walking in your shoes and hearing you say, I had some hard times, but I got through it. Mm-hmm. You know, those are admirable words, but there's that how you got through it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing where you're so inspirational, because you really had a pretty interesting life. I mean, I don't know what.
Oh, you have no idea. Yeah. I haven't told you. Yeah.
Just the highlight reel, well, right?
Just, you know, from an outsider, you worked with Fortune 500 companies. Mm-hmm. You cooked on a TV show. You've been in different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And
did a lot of training to help organizations that were floundering.
Yeah. Right.
And there's so much just nuggets that you have. Mm-hmm. I think we've all had that part in our life where somebody comes by and says the most simplistic thing, and it just, a light bulb goes off in your head, or you say, hey, I forgot that simple lesson in life. Mm-hmm. And somehow, you know, putting all of this together, and I think I've certainly gotten some ideas from you to take back to our board, and I'm sure Vicki has too, about how do you incorporate those lessons mm-hmm. when you offer a service? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when someone comes up and says, we can get you a walker.
Right.
And we think we've done it all because mm-hmm. they're having a hard time walking. We get them a walker, mm-hmm. they'll be better. But just giving up that independence, mm-hmm. how do you use that walker? Where do you put it next to your bed? Mm-hmm. Just getting it in and out of your car, the perception or the stigma
right.
that goes with having a walker, because mm-hmm. people treat you different, whether they you do. Think so or not, mm-hmm. they treat you different.
Right.
And then they maybe overcompensate and let the door slam in, you know, mm-hmm. while you're walking mm-hmm. through. So, you know, I think I certainly will bring it back to our board to talk about how to put those how-tos once you have the service, mm-hmm. not just that you have the service.
It's an education, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that whole supportive listening is really a part of this too, because so often people think they can just fix something
right.
by offering the walker or mm-hmm. some resource. But so often we haven't really listened to what else might be going on. You know, 80% of all communication is nonverbal. So mm-hmm. there might be pain issues mm-hmm. or there might be some depression or sadness, or each milestone may be overwhelming. So they need someone to just listen as right. well mm-hmm. versus fixing and giving advice.
Mm-hmm. Well said. We are rounding out the show, if you can believe it. We still have some time, but I want to make sure that we refocus again around Thank the 2019 you. Saga Senior and Family Conference, being held on Saturday, February 9th from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Ahwatukee Recreation Center, the ARC or ARC. And it's free. You mentioned that earlier. It's free to the public.
Free, free, and free.
Right.
And
so no reason not to be there.
Absolutely. And it's only a half a day, so 8:30 to 12:30 doesn't disrupt the rest of your Saturday. And I'd like to just say that, again, the beautiful ARC venue, as well as it's really important to also honor our veterans in a way, because guess what? American Legion Post 64 is going to do a presentation with the Color Guard.
Wonderful.
So what a nice kickoff in honoring our veterans. And that post is located right there. And very supportive in Ahwatukee for many, many things. That could be another whole show. Mm-hmm. So I think we can continue to bring resources and partners together and the people that are doing the things that really matter here. And again, the event is called Successful Aging, Keys to a Fun and Exciting Life. And I think that says it all.
It does. It's not just a health fair.
Right.
It really is around laughter, camaraderie, joy, hope. Education.
Yes.
The whole shebang.
And I thank our Saga board too, because we have a lot of new energy this year and new ideas, and Saga members have given us some new ideas. So as we're giving back, I think it is a real collaborative process, and that matters
It matters for the community. It matters for the seniors. Yes. It matters for the first responders, everybody involved.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I hope that as people walk away today, when we talk about isolation, that's really not what this is. We're building awareness around what can happen. But as you're telling the stories that June did so well and talking about resources, immediately you can move past the negativity of that and spin it into the hopefulness. That's what this is about.
Right. That's right.
I hadn't thought to share this. There was no reason to, but I'm going to share it now. I had a breakfast meeting that I hosted this morning with the 30 podcasters and or radio hosts who now come and do their shows out of our studio. And I have in my home office these two little, I don't know, stands, and they are the ampersand. One is smaller than the other, and I have them in as a visual reminder in my home office, and I brought them. I grabbed them last minute this morning and had them on the display at the front of the room. Because my life is about an and conversation. I don't want it to be an and or, and I don't want it to be an and but. I want it to be and.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, right. I want, because if we ask a question, you know, how are you today? And someone says, oh, I'm doing okay, but then, you know, we might start traveling down a path. We may need to be there for their help. Mm-hmm. But when we talk and we look through the negative lens, we continue to look through that lens. I think, Vicki, you pointed that out mm-hmm. earlier. But if we can change the way we're speaking, and I'm listening to myself use the word but several times during this conversation, so know that I'm catching that, by the way. But when we can shift it, and it's an and.
Yes.
I'm feeling great today, and I'm going to keep working towards that tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so just.
And you're automatically looking at strengths by doing that instead yes. of saying, okay, I can't do this like I used to, or that person has this diagnosis. Those are all negative spins, which we really don't have to do. Mm-hmm. It is a choice.
And we can't avoid them. I mean, to right. our point earlier when we started this segment, this isn't about avoiding or hiding anything that's going on. This is around advocating around truthfulness and hope and joy and mm-hmm. getting the right resources and the help and having them easily accessible.
Yes.
You know, I'm reminded, because I have a little six-year-old, that we constantly say to her, you know, you're dealing with things in life now. But our job is to get you ready for the life that you need to live and live in this world, but also be a certain type of person. We want you to have values. We want you to have morals. We want you to be kind. And sometimes she has to be in situations where people aren't kind so that she can make that choice. Or sometimes she needs to be and experience peer pressure now where it's manageable and there's not a lot of consequences. Well, June just made me think of, you know, as she went into this next part of her life, she had to make some choices, like she said, but there has to be someone there to help you make those choices and give you an example. And I can't think of anybody better than her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just want to thank you, June, for taking the time to want to spend with us today and okay. share your story. And I got to tell people, because you can't, I'm not saying this is a pun. They can't see us.
Uh-huh. But I'm a gorgeous blonde.
Yes, she is.
That's the first thing I said. But if you could see the joy that comes off her face and
The depth.
Yeah, you would understand that she's not just saying things today.
No.
That really is her.
Well, I was brought up I could do anything. And this is probably the hardest thing that I've had to do as far as a challenge. But, you know, my mother was very positive, and I guess it spilled over into me. I found out about 4 years ago that I'm also losing my hearing. But you know what? I'm not dying. I don't have a brain tumor. I'm not being treated for cancer. There's so many other things that could be lots worse. I'm very blessed. I'm thankful that I had sight all those years. So I know what the color green looks like or the sky looks like. If you're born blind, you don't have that. So there's always a positive way to look at things. And I have my pity parties. There's days I feel bad for myself, but I get over it pretty quick.
And you're human, right? I mean, then we would be silly to pretend like, you know, it's always a bed of roses or rainbows and lollipops, right?
And I have to tell you just a quick story.
Please.
My son, for my 70th birthday last year, gave me a trip to Lake Louise up in Canada. And I always wanted to go there. So I was looking forward, and he said, well, we're going to do the skywalk, and then we're going to get on the ski lift, and then we're going to do the gondola, and then we're going to do, and I'm like, I'm not doing any of that. He said, I got your tickets. You have to. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. Well, we got there, and of course, I said, oh, okay. And you know what? Hanging up high on a ski lift or gondola, when you can't see, you don't know how high you are. So
I got
on just fine.
He was freaking out.
Right, yeah. So anyway, they thought I was pretty cool that I did it. But
no doubt.
My secret was I couldn't see.
And I wonder how many people looked over and said, yes. Look at her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stop and get on.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but he said it so much more eloquently as always. Yeah. Thank you for what you do, June, every day.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I want to share is that if you are listening to this, and we hope that you are, and that you've stayed with us through the entire episode, you likely know someone, or you yourself might be someone like June who has a history, right? We all have it, or stories to share, and wisdom, as well as just that hope. And reach out to sagaseniors.org, reach out to Phoenix Business Radio X, and let's make sure that your story is heard and that your legacy lives on.
And it's $25 to be a Saga member per year, you know, for those that live in our area that might want to come to an occasional membership meeting and be more involved. It's negligible. Thank you. The cause is worth it.
Absolutely. And so to get your free, do you have to actually register for this event or can you just show
up?
You
can show up, okay. But you can also register through Eventbrite, which is on our website and some of our other media correspondence.
And that
but
website one more
just
time
just show
for us?
Up, yeah. You know, sagaseniors.org. But go to our website, it'll guide you a little easier and just show up. We'll help you with registration. It's simple.
Wonderful. And the foundation, again, June, that you're involved with?
It's the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Is that the name of the website as well?
Yes. Uh-huh. And the Vision Walk is February 23rd at Steel Indian School Park.
All right. And look to the website for information about that.
Oh, boy. www.fightblindness.org.
Beautifully done. Mm-hmm. Derek, any parting words?
This has been a great day.
It really has
been.
Thank you,
Karen.
Oh, my gosh. You're
welcome.
Thank
you for inviting us back.
Happy to have you back and keep coming back. We've got lots of stories to share and a lot of people to help and assist. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.